I want to talk to you about getting your priorities straight tonight. And what I want to do, I told you I was going to begin a sermon. Somebody told me, a series. Somebody told me today they appreciated the study of the life of Abraham that we went through. We have studied this past year. We went through Joseph back last year, last spring and summer. And then I took up with Abraham for about 6, 8, or 10 weeks. Tonight I want to start a series on the Ten Commandments. And I want to begin reading in Exodus chapter 19. Really, the Ten Commandments is given two places in the Old Testament, and that is Deuteronomy and also Exodus the first time, and then 40 years later in the book of Deuteronomy. But I want to read it tonight, and I hope you'll stay with me during this series. I'll do it on some on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, but the Ten Commandments for today. And I want to talk to you about this true secret of happiness, the secret of true happiness. And from Exodus chapter 19, I begin reading in verse 3. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus saith thou to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Verse 4 of chapter 19. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I am coming to thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sights of all the people on Mount Sinai. Then I want to go just skip over to chapter 20 and verses 1, 2, and 3. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And here's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other God before me. I hope the Ten Commandments is something, Catherine, I hope our kids are learning the Bible. And I think one of the most important things any of us will ever learn in this world is the Ten Commandments, because they deal with righteousness. The Bible, and I'd ask you tonight, are you a righteous person? Are you a righteous person? Now, to answer, you must know the difference between positional righteousness and practical righteousness. We get a positional righteousness when we give our heart to the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. When we are justified by Christ, that's my position in Christ. And I am a righteous person. It's imputed righteousness. Not because I'm a good fella, not because I'm a good boy, but because God imputed that righteousness to me. And that's my position. Now I'd ask you this though, and positional righteousness is instantaneous when you give your heart to Christ. That's instantaneous. But I want to say that practical righteousness is something that takes a lifetime to develop. And that's why Bible camp and whatever we can do, Bible study and Sunday school, why it's all so important, so that it will help me to in the work of sanctification. That's a lifelong process. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 6:11 that we are to pursue righteousness. And so I want to tell you, nothing will help you in that, I think, better than a good understanding of the Ten Commandments. The first four of the commandments deal with what? They deal with our relationship with the vertical relationship, our relationship to God. And the second and the next six, Jim, they deal with our relationship to other people, the horizontal relationships. And I tell you what, I don't care how life you good is, I don't care how much money you make, or how much success you have, Somebody was telling me this afternoon about a young man, Dr. Joe, matter of fact, Ann Carmichael was telling me about her son, who's now a Presbyterian minister, said he's the most educated man in Alabama or in Kentucky, wherever it is. He got about 5 degrees. He got a degree, master's in business. I don't know what all he got, but said he had about 5 degrees. But I don't care what you got. If you are not right with people, if you're not right in relation to others and relation to God, I don't think you can be happy. Now, I want to say 3 or 4 things before I talk just a few minutes on this first commandment. I want to say, first of all, that the Ten Commandments are the key to the secret to true happiness. Number one, they are positive, not negative. Now, a lot of people think their picture of God is a God that wants to hem us in and is grumpy, and he don't want us to enjoy life. And it's thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. But I tell you, that is the devil's strategy. He came to Adam and Eve in the form of a serpent. And he said in Genesis 3:1, did God really say? God told him, so you can eat of everything in the garden, but one thing, but only one thing that God said was one exception. And they ate of it. And he said, did God really say that? But here I want to say that God wants us to be happy, and he wants us to be healthy, and he wants us to be holy. God is not, anytime God says, thou shalt not, he's saying, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. So I want to tell you, first of all, the Ten Commandments are positive. Number two, they are passionate. And that means, by passion, I mean they are loving. These are 10 passionate statements from God for us, because sin, God hates sin, and sin wrecks people's lives. So God called him in Exodus 19. God called Moses up to Mount Sinai to meet him. He said, these are the words that I'm going to give you. And one thing I love this, and Fred says, he said in verse, in one of these verses, he said, he said in verse 4, you've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings, brought you unto myself. God took care of them when they came out of Egypt. He provided manna for them to eat. He provided water to rock. He led them across the Red Sea. They saw many miracles. God had a plan for them. And God said, I bear you up on eagle's wing. Anybody know what that means? If you have your Bible, you can turn to Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. It said, as an eagle stirs up her nest and flutters over her young and spreadeth about her wings and taketh them and beareth them up on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead, and there was no strange God with him. What he said is, God has bared you up. He's taking care of you on eagle's wing. And the picture is, Eric, that a mother, and by the way, C has been watching, there's a live cam cast. She's been watching some eagles. I don't know where they're located, maybe up in Alaska. Somebody's got a camera, Johnny, down on that eagle's nest. She could go home tonight and look at those babies in the eagle's nest. And we've seen that eagle, that mama eagle, feed those little babies. We've seen it right there on the camera. Got a camera. And you can somehow they do that. And they got a camera there. And we're looking at it. And it's very interesting. And checks in on those birds every day. But the picture in Deuteronomy 32 is God said, like an eagle, I have taken care of you. And the picture is on the eagle's wings. And the picture is that, and it says this, Mother Eagle makes the nest, and she takes feathers and leaves and everything. She makes the nest and takes care of those little birds. And then one day she'll kick them out of the day comes that she thinks they're strong enough to fly, and she'll kick them out of the nest and she'll push them out. And as they're falling toward the ground, guess what the Mother Eagle will do? She will jump out of that nest and she will go down underneath and catch them before they hit the ground. She'll catch that baby eagle before and won't let it hit. And then she'll do that again and again. Keep pushing them out until that baby eagle learns to fly. And God said, I took you. I bore you up on eagle's wings. I took care of you. I'm looking at a lot of people tonight. I guarantee you, I've been on eagle's wings. There have been disasters in my life. I guarantee you, Bailey, I've had disasters in my life. They would have been pure. They would have been crashes. There would have been disaster, Brother Mike, in my life unless God had come down at the last second and picked me up on the eagle's wings. That's what he said. God said, that's what I did for you out there in the desert, in the wilderness. I've taken care of you all these years. And so I want to say it's a passionate thing. First of all, the Ten Commandments are positive. Number two, they are passionate. Then number three, I want to say they are protective. There's some boundaries, God's boundaries for our protection. How many young people have your parents ever said to you, don't play in the street? What's another they say don't do? Give me one. Give me one. What? Don't talk to strangers. That's a good one. Give me another one. Don't do what? Do what? Don't touch the top of the stove. That's a good one. My mama tell me, don't play with fire. Is that a good one? You ever talked that? And so God said it with the Ten Commandments, don't play with fire. This is for your good. Not because God don't want you to enjoy life. He wants you to be happy and holy and healthy. He wants you to enjoy life. Not because He wants to keep things from you. But I want to say, number one was they are positive. Number two, passionate. Number three, they are protective. And I want to tell you, God knew that if you don't honor your parents, that wasn't a good recipe. Adultery or killing or stealing, that's the wrong thing. God knew that. That wouldn't lead to happiness. And so He says this, God, and I believe this, God has a plan for every life. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. See if you can pull it up. Fox, please. Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody know what that says? Come on. Judy, what did you say? You say it? Who was saying that? Who was quoting? Jeremiah 29:11. Y'all learned this. Young people, if you don't remember any other thing I say tonight, you ought to remember this. That ought to be Clark, your last verse. Will, your last verse. Jackson, your last verse. Listen to it. It says, God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not for evil, and to give you an expected end. And I think in the King James, in one of the versions, it says, I know the plans I have for you. See if you can find that, Debbie. God said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope, plans not to harm you, but a plan to give you a hope and give you a future. And that's especially to you young people. All right, here's the last thing I want to say is about Ten Commandments is they are number one, they're what? Come on, say it with me. Positive. They're passionate. They are protective. And then number four, they are personal. Because I tell you what the first Ten Commandments do. It'll show you what you're made out of. Devin touched on it, and several of you give your testimony tonight. You touched this is the Ten Commandments. What did they say? What did Jesus say the greatest commandment was? They came to Him one day and they tried to trap Him over in Mark's gospel. They asked Him three or four questions. They said, what about a woman that dies and has seven husbands? In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? They asked that question. Another one was that they said, what about paying taxes? And Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God. But what did He say? They said, all right, out of the Ten Commandments, what is the great commandment? And what did Jesus say? He said there's two of them. Number one, love God. And the other one is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, but the greatest commandment is love God. Now I want to ask this question. How do you show God you love Him? And He answered this fella. He said, you love me if you do what? If you keep my commandments. See, love is not a goo-goo feeling. A lot of people think, you know, it's just a warm glow and smiling to everybody. And it's deeper than that, isn't it? Jesus said, it's a thermometer. If you try to live by the Ten Commandments, it's a good spiritual thermometer, and it'll tell you how much you really love the Lord God. Amen. And David said that tonight. How much I know I love Him with my heart. And we do, but it's a good thermometer. So I want to say that this is personal. And also, I think the Ten Commandments reveal our sin. They're like a mirror, and they show us really what is in our heart. All right, I'm going to make a few comments. It's 6:46. Give me about 5 minutes on this. On the first commandment. Now I'll take up with number two on Wednesday night. Getting your priorities straight. I said that these commandments, how many of them deal with God's, our relationship to God? First four. And how many deal with our relationship to fellow man? Six of them. Now here's what I want to talk to you. 3 points real quick. You knew that. All right, why do you put God first? Where do you put God first? And number three is when you put God first. Why do you put God first? Number one, Well, I think it opens the door to God's blessing. And the first commandment is here. It said, and I just read it in Exodus 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why should you put God first? Well, you ought to put Him first because it opens the door of God's blessings. God told Moses, He said, I'm going to give you, He said in Deuteronomy chapter 11, I set before you a blessing and a curse. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 26. He said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey. So I want to tell you, the Ten Commandments, first of all, you ought to put God first because it opens the door to God's blessing. And number two, it closes the door to idolatry. Now I want to tell you that we don't worship pagan gods like people in the Old Testament did, but people do have their gods. For some of them, I believe it's a job. It could be a career. It could be education. Some people, Richard, I've known some that bow to the god of education. I've known some bow to the god of money. I've known some to bow to young people, Brother Mike, to the god of popularity, be popular. And so I want to tell you, there are other gods, but anything that gets first place in your life is probably your master. And I preached a sermon on this a few weeks ago when I said, who do you belong to? Anybody remember that sermon? I was talking about Moses coming out of Egypt. He left Egypt. And I asked the question, who do you belong to? So what is your priority? And I want to say to these adults here tonight, all of you, you young people, you don't know how it does my heart good just to see you here as your pastor. And you voted with your feet tonight. Everybody could be, we could be at the beach, the pool, the TV. We could have been anywhere, but you're here tonight, and that says a great deal to me. It says something about where your heart is. And then I want to say that we put God first because it keeps us from disaster. Because there are disasters out there. Unless the Lord holds me up, unless the Lord guides me, then I tell you, I'd be in a bad shape. I'd be fearful tonight if I knew I had to leave this church for 1 week or 1 month on my own without the blessing of God. And I pray, Sam, what you do, for the Holy Spirit. I pray the Holy Spirit will fill me and use me and teach me and lead me. Number two is, where should you put God first? Number one, you ought to put Him first in your finances. I know from counseling experience that one of the number one problems that couples have is finances. And most marriage counselors would tell you the big problem, and Virginia could tell you, and Mike, that teach at Financial Peace University, biggest problem is debt. And people disregard what taught in the Bible. But if you will try to live by what the Bible teaches about, I believe, about stewardship and about finances, then you'd save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. And Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And I want to tell you, we're making more money today. We're making more money, most of us, than we ever dreamed of. And it causes us, I think, to buy more expensive clothing, eat more expensive restaurants, drive more expensive cars, live in a more expensive home. And I want to tell you that's all good. But the problem is, no amount of money or possessions will make you happy. And only God can fill that vacuum in your soul. And so we need to obey God's commands about money. He needs to be first in our finances. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I want to tell you, money is a good test tonight of where your heart is. That's where your priorities are. What if I ask you tonight, would you give your checkbook, how many of you would give your checkbook to your neighbor and let him check you out? He could look into your heart. If I could see your checkbook, I probably would know something about your heart. We had a deacon in my church, and he was a single guy. He was a lawyer, but he had a civil service job with the government. But Pitt was trained daily as a lawyer. And he's a young single man. Probably back in those days, Pitt might have been in his 30s somewhere, early 30s. But my wife was church secretary for about 4 years, 4.5 years. And I tell you, whatever we would do as a church, I tell you who the number one giver was. He wasn't the biggest money maker. He didn't have any. He had a government job. But I don't know that William Pittman didn't give a third or a half of his income to the church. And I had a minister of music one time that gave 30%. You couldn't pay a guy like that enough, could you? But he gave back 30% of his pay to the Lord's work. I knew where his heart was, brother. And I tell you, I know where he is tonight. I buried him. He had pancreatic cancer, and I buried him. But I know for sure, Harold Smith, he's in glory tonight. I know where his heart was because I knew something about his checkbook. But I would just say this. God ought to be first in your finances, in your finances. And the Bible says, he that, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, he that sows sparingly reaps sparingly. That's just the way it is. And all right, then I want to say that God ought to be first in your relationships. 3 minutes and I'm through. God made us to need relationships. And that's why he made Eve for Adam. He says it's not good for man to be alone and we need friends. But I want to tell you tonight that our relationships are need to be careful about your friendships. I would tell you, young people growing up, be careful about your friends because they will affect your relationship to the Lord. They will. And it's especially true in dating. And I heard this said one time. And I don't know if it's true or not, but since I married C, I guess it's true. Don't date somebody you wouldn't marry. If you wouldn't marry them, that's probably a good rule. How many of you had us believe that? Would you say amen? Amen. I believe that. That's a good rule. And if you choose friends that draw you away from the Lord, you've made poor choices. Then I want to say God ought to be first in your problems. When you became a Christian, that don't mean all your problems went away. And Jesus said this in John 16, and I'm preaching on it next Sunday. And I tell you, I worked on that sermon in my study this afternoon. I can't hardly, you ever had a sermon match, you couldn't hardly wait to preach it? I got one like that next Sunday. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have tribulations. Next Sunday I'm going to preach on how bad can it get. And I've told C already about it, what I'm working on, but God didn't promise that. He didn't promise us that we weren't going to have problems in this world. We would have anguish and afflictions and problems, but if God is first, we can trust His promise. Because He said in Psalm 50, call on me in the day of trouble and I'll answer you. I love Psalm 91 where there's seven I will. God said, I will be with you. I will answer you. I will hear you. And you will see long life. Some great promises in Psalm 91. Well, all right, last thing I want to say is when should you put first God first? Because it's a choice. Everybody's going to choose. Everybody chooses. But I want to tell you, the quality of your life is determined by your choices that you make. At the end of his life, Joshua calls all the Israelites together for his final address. It's kind of like my daddy. My daddy, he died when I was 15 years old. He had a farm accident. A tank blew up on a fertilizer tank. Anhydrous ammonia. Brother Sessions knows what I'm talking about. About a 500-gallon tank. Stem blew off one end of it. My dad lived about a day and a half. Boy went to heaven. I got him to the hospital that day. Got him in a truck. After the tank blew up on him, and he was in tremendous pain. Body was burned, about 95% of his body. They'd stripped all the clothes off of him, put him on the table, and the doctor, they gave him as much pain med as they did what they could, as quick as they could. But before my daddy went to sleep, he said, son, I love you. You're the man now. You take care of your mama and the kids. And I was crying, begging, I said, Daddy, don't talk like that. Don't say that. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right, Daddy. But he knew he wasn't going to be. He knew he was going to heaven. He's going to be all right, but going to heaven. But I thank my daddy that day. And he never told me, Fred, that's the first time I ever heard my daddy say, I love you. I don't remember another time in my life he ever said that. So I knew it was a new time, might have probably was short, and wasn't much left. Joshua knew he was dying. He was leaving this world. He called his final address. He called them all together. He said, choose you today who you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That'd be my prayer for every daddy in our church. Every one of them. As for me and my house. Because I tell you, on this Father's Day, I tell you this, as fathers go, so will go this country. Amen? As daddies go, so will go Enterprise, Alabama. And so will go our world. As daddies go, so will go the First Baptist Church of Enterprise, Alabama. As daddies go. Men need to be stand up and be men. And I tell you, for a long time, we could not make it without these precious widow ladies. Robbie, good to see you back tonight. We couldn't make it without you. But I tell you, we need daddies. We need daddies, like Joshua says, as for me and my house. And it means going the second mile sometimes. It means going sometimes, coach, when you ain't got much left to go on. It just means just nothing but the will of God. That's what you stand on. What do you stand on? Nothing but the will of God and putting Him first. That's priorities. And that's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.